This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Very happy to be here with you. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we will be joined by Rex Hudler to help get you started for the baseball season. So, someone asked this question, and I just want to, I guess, answer it really quickly, and then we can move on. I do want to talk about football. We were talking about the changes to the kickoff rule. So, they are proposing that a touchback now puts the ball on the 35-yard line as opposed to the 30-yard line. And someone was making the point, CDOT, do you think that that actually makes a difference? Yes, it absolutely does. If you start your drive on the 30-yard line, you have about a 75% chance to score. And obviously that goes up. Fewer first downs to get in the field goal range, etc. If you start your drive at just the 10-yard line, you have a 30% chance of scoring on that drive. So, yes, where your field position is has an impact on the game. I think this is fair. If you kick the ball out of bounds, it should be placed on the 40. So now one big pass play puts the other team into scoring range. And if you purposely try to kick it out of the field of play, which is what a touchback is, you purposely kicked it out of the field of play, then yeah, put the ball on the 35-yard line. Other than that, you need to kick the ball in play and allow the special teams an opportunity to return it and make a play. Maybe they score a touchdown. Maybe you stop them and you tackle them at the 17-yard line, so it helps you because of where you start field position. I just want football to be as exciting as it can possibly be. It is already a great game. I just want to add to what it can potentially be. This is what I want to talk about as Rex Hudler is going to call in coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Rob, maybe you think that I'm off on this, and if I am, you certainly can tell me. I think that Bobby Witt has crossed over, so to speak. I think he is a star here locally. Now, he's not Mahomes or Kelce. They are on a different stratosphere. But I think if we are making a power ranking of celebrities and athletes in the city, I think that Bobby Witt Jr. would rank very, very well. He has billboards around the city. He is in commercials now. I think he is certainly very recognizable. He has said a lot of things that I think has endeared him. I think the average fan now has a very good understanding of how good of a baseball player he is. I think that Bobby Witt Jr. is a star. No question about it. I think one of the goals for the Royals this upcoming season, and it just comes with time and winning, is I want to see if they can create another one. I don't think Vinny is a star locally yet. I think he's a popular player that people know, but I'm not really sure if when people go to Rally House or Dick's Sporting Goods to buy a jersey, I don't think they're buying the Vinny Pasquantino jersey. And back in 2014 and 2015, you had four or five guys that you wanted their jersey. You wanted the Kane jersey. You wanted the Hosmer jersey. You wanted the Alex Gordon jersey. You wanted Yordano Ventura. There were a handful of names that you wanted to have their jersey and have a piece of their memorabilia. I don't know if Vinny is at that place yet. Maybe he is, and I'm just off. Text line 913-586-7965. But I think Vinny is at that, or I think that Bobby is at that place. If you are a Royals fan and you haven't bought a new jersey in a while, you want the Bobby Witt Jr. one. Is there another player that is going to lead you to go get that second Royals jersey, or are you going to keep wearing your 14 and 15 stuff, and when you want to put on something new, you'll put on the Bobby Witt Jr.? So one thing I would like to see them do is, can they create another star? I don't think that star can be on Bobby Witt Jr. level. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the five best players in baseball. But you remember, there were some people that if you asked them in 2014, hey, who's your favorite player? Somebody would tell you Alex Gordon. Somebody would tell you Lorenzo Cain. Somebody would tell you Mike Moustakas. Someone would tell you Salvador Perez. I think everybody's answer for this team is basically the same. And it might always be that way because Bobby is just so much better than everybody else. But can they make another star? Can Cole Reagans become that star? And I think he's a very, very good pitcher. Can he put together another season? He's starting in an all-star game, and he's having legitimate Cy Young conversations that it is now a point. I want to go out to the ballpark today because Cole Reagans is starting today for the Kansas City Royals. Can they turn Vinny into that guy? Can he be a guy that hits 30 home runs, has 120 RBIs, and is one of the more feared hitter in Major League Baseball? That's one of the goals for the Royals this year.
It should absolutely be a goal, but I think the only way they can achieve that goal is winning. And that's no disrespect to Vinny, no disrespect to Reagans. Those are really good players, and those are the guys I think will rise to that level. Again, not Bobby's level, because Bobby is not Patrick Mahomes as far as rings, but he is that level of quality in the sport. He's a freak. I think they're going to need winning. Carrington, you and I are in Kansas City in 08, 09, 2010, 2011, 2012. The Royals started bringing up those guys that became stars. But make no mistake about it, they were not stars when they came up. They were people that Royals fans as prospects were excited for, but they were not stars. When Danny Duffy came up, he was not a star. When Eric Hosmer came up, he was not a star. They were just, ooh, we're excited, they were drafted high. We think these guys can be the savior. But when Eric Hosmer was walking around the plaza in 2012, it was not the same as when he walked around the plaza in 2014. What changed was the winning. And I think people gravitate toward winners, and I think if the Royals continue some winning, Vinny and Cole Reagans, like that, become that second star player. And that person who in 2015 was like, my favorite player is Wade Davis because he's the best, whatever, that person goes back to ballpark, and they're picking Cole Reagans. Maybe they're picking Lucas Erceg because they love the lights go out in the ninth energy. Maybe that fan is being like really excited about the idea of Vinny Pasquantino, or maybe Jack Caglione comes up. I don't know, but I think the only way the Royals can get that next level of stardom locally is by winning, because Vinny's got a good personality. Vinny has the Sasquatch come out in left field when he hits a homer. Vinny's doing Boulevard commercials. Vinny is a very personal player. Why hasn't he elevated? There hasn't been enough winning yet. And if he starts winning, I think he steps up in the blink of an eye.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, I think that Vinny is on the same level as Hosmer was before the World Series. I don't think he's close to where Hosmer was in terms of popularity.
2013 Hosmer?
I don't think so. I think people like Vinny. I think maybe this is the difference. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. I don't know if Vinny appeals to casual fans. Hosmer did. Hosmer appealed to casual fans. I think that, like, if you are a diehard Royals fan, I think you like and know who Vinny Pasquantino is. I don't think he registers yet to the person that goes to two or three Royals games and doesn't listen and doesn't keep up with them in the way that Hosmer does. And that's what I'm talking about, like crossing over at that point. I don't know if they have that guy to. Now, I will tell you this, and the text line makes a good point. You know who I think could do this if Jack Caglione turns out to be who they think he can be, and you were telling me for the 2028 season and beyond, you have your 3 and 4 hitters are Bobby Witt Jr. and Jack Caglione. That is a player that has a chance to reach that kind of star potential where people want to go buy his jersey, that people look at him as one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
Caglione is a very good answer. I wonder, though, if, and maybe this is unfair by me, because it seems like Caglione's timeline is maybe late 25, probably 26. We don't know if he hit the ground running. So it's like 26, 27. Can the Royals, as far as crossing over, afford to be just one star waiting for Jack? I think they need Vinny or Cole Reagans to take that, maybe not a monumental leap, but they need to cross over in some form or fashion, because if the plan is wait for Caglione and now you got a second star that crosses over, you're going to be having the same conversation for a couple of years, because I don't think he's as close to stardom as a lot of people think.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think that Vinny is maybe best in line to do it. I mean, last year, he hit 19 home runs, 97 RBIs. If he comes out on fire this year and is a guy and there is a push to put him in the All-Star game, I think that Kansas City will rally around Vinny and try to get him there. Like, part of, I think, what happened in 13 and 14 and 15, especially in 15, where it became a Kansas City against everybody mentality, is Kansas City had the mindset of, we want to promote our own. So, hey, Omar Infante, even though you might not be an all-star, hey, you one of us, so we're going to try to elevate you and promote you. If Vinny has the kind of season that people think that he was, the 2014 and 2015 fan base would have had Vinny as a starter in the All-Star game. I mean, that fan base is still around, right? They still exist. They got Bobby Witt Jr. to be an All-Star. Now, his own play has also put him there. But Bobby, if Bobby continues to be Bobby, he will be a starter. People outside of Kansas City will be voting for Bobby Witt Jr., not just you guys. Ain't nobody outside of Kansas City voting for Vinny Pasquantino except you guys. So if you think that Vinny can be a star this year, if Vinny gets out to a good year and he is in line to hit 270 and hit 28 home runs and have 110 RBIs, then rally around your guy and get him into the All-Star game, because we already know that first base is just going to be a very crowded position, and he's going to need that push from the locals, from your home base, to potentially get you over the hump and get you to an All-Star game and the first one that you've made in your career. I really think, like, he's on that cusp. He is 27 years old. He got a taste of it last year where he had his best season by far. Now this team needs him to take that next step and take that jump to be in one of those household names and help get this team back to the postseason. We got Rex Hudler scheduled to join us here coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Rex Hudler scheduled to call in just a bit. Before we do that, let me get a couple of food takes out of the way. And I only want to get these food takes out of the way because I think it's possible that I've become the number one food voice in the city. I really think so. I think that when I tell you guys something is trash, I think you stop eating it. When I tell you a place is good, I think people line up in the streets. I'm like sports talk radio Keith Lee, Rob. That's who I think I am. That's who I think I've grown into becoming. And I just want to embrace who I am. Let me start with opinion number one. I think it's time to shake up the hot dog derby out at Kauffman Stadium. Now, I love the hot dog derby. It's something that I look forward to. You're sitting there, you're outside, the weather is good. And next thing you know, they're about to do a hot dog derby. Now, I don't mind it when it's on the screen, but it's something a little different. It's something a little special when they do it live and in person. It's something about seeing your fellow Kansas Citians put on that hot dog costume and run around the park that I really enjoy. I'm a big fan of, as somebody who has done it one time and is 1-0 when I've done it. I'm 1-0. I will never do the hot dog derby again. I don't need to. I'm undefeated. I don't need to do the first pitch anymore. Rob, you saw my first pitch. A Royal Scout came up to me afterwards and said I had a live arm. I'm done. I've done everything I need to do out of Kauffman Stadium. I just need to keep watching games there. That's it. But I do have a suggestion. I will continue to make this suggestion. It's time to shake it up a little bit and let's add barbecue sauce. Now, yes, barbecue sauce is a very specific Kansas City thing. But we've all been at the cookout. We've all been at the function. And they have the condiments spread out around the table. And for this occasion, you know what? I'm not putting the mustard on there. You know what? I'm going to spice it up a little bit. Hand me a little bit of that Gate sauce, and I'm going to dump that on there. Hand me a little bit of that KC Masterpiece, and I'm going to go ahead and sprinkle that on there. We need to add barbecue sauce to the hot dog derby. Let's switch it up a little bit. So, Royals, I hope you're listening. I think you're listening to the show. Why don't you guys take this suggestion and let's add barbecue sauce to the equation. Let's add barbecue sauce because I love barbecue sauce on a hot dog. That's take number one. Take number two.
Real quick on take number one.
Yes.
If we're going to do this, shouldn't we just lean into it? Let's just make it a barbecue derby. Let's just have three sauces on the screen. We got Gates, we got Joe's, we got Jack Stack. Have them race. I understand why ketchup, mustard, relish, even though no one eats relish, disgusting. I understand why that has been the derby forever, but let's embrace who we are. Milwaukee does the sausage race. You know why? Because that's what Milwaukee is. DC does the presidential race. They have people in president. Kansas City doing a hot dog derby should not be the same as Seattle. Let's just pick, let's have three barbecue sauces in town, agree to be on the screen. We'll put three people in costumes when they run in real life. And let's just have the running of the barbecue sauces. The fact it's ever been ketchup, mustard, relish is not an homage to our city.
I love that idea. It's a great idea. In fact, that's the best idea you've had on this show. Sam Mellinger was just here yesterday when he brought up Ryan LaFever. Why didn't you share that suggestion with him? Let's scrap the idea and let's have the burn-in, let's have the rib, let's have the brisket race. It's a phenomenal idea. We need to continue to pitch that. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, I don't know how you can say that. Last year you suggested everybody go to Red Lobster and I saved their business. Did I not save their business? Rob, right after talking about Red Lobster, what happened? They got a new CEO that has turned things around. This show gets things done. It gets things done. I don't know how you guys don't see that. We adopted K-State women's team, did we not? What happened? They went to the Sweet 16. I told you that I like Drake. We had one college basketball player on the show this year. What college did he went to?
He went to Drake.
They won a game in the NCAA tournament. We have one quarterback come on our show during the football season. What happened? They went to the Super Bowl. Good things happen when you come on this show.
Will Howard was a friend of the show.
Won a national championship. Yeah. Good things happen when you come on this show. It's good vibe. It's good energy when you come on this show. So, you know what? The numbers and the results speak for themselves. I'm going to move on to my second point here, and I know Rex Hudler is about to call in soon. I don't judge people for a lot of things. I know that we laugh and joke, but I really do try to live by this mantra. I don't spend my personal time wondering about what other people do in their personal time. Sure, we laugh and we joke, but I don't really care what you guys do for the most part. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me what you do. It's all fun and jokes. I hope you understand that. But this is no joke. I don't know how you can work a 40-hour work week and you make the decision to go to a baseball game. Hey, money might be tight, but you know what? You want to take your 8-year-old kid. You want to take your kid out to opening day. You want them to have that memory. And that's great. I remember going to my first opening day. It's a memory I'll remember for the rest of my life. I don't know how you work 40 hours a week. You bought 2 tickets to go to Royals opening day. You took your kid out there. You got your kid a hat. You got your kid a glove. And your kid says, hey, Dad, can I get a hot dog? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then you watch your son or daughter put relish on their hot dog. I don't know how, and I don't know how you do it in that moment. I'd knock the hot dog out of their hand. What's wrong with you? Like, I treat it like I would treat it like your son just cursed. That's how I would treat it. Whoa! Can you imagine buying a hot dog for somebody and then they put sauerkraut on that hot dog? You might as well spit in my face. You just disrespected me. You know what I had to do to get you that hot dog, Rob? You know the amount of work I had to put in the office to come up with the sports takes to help pay for that hot dog that I just bought you? And you are about to disrespect me right in front of my face and you're about to put sauerkraut on your hot dog? No.
Whoa. Kraut's fine.
No, it's not fine.
Kraut is one of the elite condiments we have as a society.
Elite condiments?
It's in the same category as the mustard or onion. Incredible. I'm with you on relish. If you're putting ketchup and relish on a hot dog, don't sit near me. But a little kraut on a brat, maybe a little spicy mustard, that gets the body right.
Rob, if you and I go to another baseball game, and I'm sure that we will, we usually go to 1 or 2 a year, and you put relish on your hot dog around me or sauerkraut on your hot dog around me, I'm going to have to remove you from the stadium. I'm going to text that little number they tell you like someone is being unruly in our section, and I'm going to ask them to remove you from the stadium for conduct detrimental to the crowd is what I'm going to have them do. It's disgusting. Come on now. I know that, and you know that.
I don't know why you're hating a little kraut. A little kraut. I'm not saying you drown it. Just a little, after a little side cup of sauerkraut, sprinkle it on there. A little mustard. Great meal.
No.
Wash it down with a nice space camper. Ooh, that's a day.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's the most Robert Britton thing you've ever said on this show. Give me a little sauerkraut and some space camper and baseball. Rob's in heaven. Rob's out of here. That's all he needs. He doesn't need anything else. A little sauerkraut, a little space camper. How much did that cost you? About $24? That whole thing cost you about $24 out at the K.
Oh yeah. The beer alone's like 16.
Yeah, you get the little tall boy to camper. They're not playing games.
I'm not getting no 12-ounce. I gotta get my money's worth here.
Yeah, you gotta get the big one. You absolutely gotta get the big one. Coming up in a little bit, we're gonna be joined by Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster, is gonna join us on the show. Let me play Matt Cotchiaro for you guys. He was on Fesco and Dusty earlier today. Here he is giving two updates. Let's start with the update that he had on Vinny Pasquantino.
Vinny's good. You know, I mean, I think even right the day of the injury, we had a pretty good sense that he was going to be okay. Like, it wasn't a terrible hamstring strain, but you know, the fact that these last couple days he's improved each day, we've added more work to him each day. You know, yesterday he ran a little, he took full BP, took ground balls. The day before was just a little, was BP in the cages. So today will be a full workout, and we'll just gauge him. I mean, we have to be responsible with what he's saying and how he's feeling, but we're very optimistic.
That was an update from the manager who was on Fesco and Dusty earlier today about Royals first baseman Vinny Pasquantino. We would certainly hope and see that tomorrow if he's starting for the Royals on opening day. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of my favorite people in the world. He's not just my favorite guest. He's one of my favorite people. Former major league star, current star in broadcasting. You know it's baseball season when Rex Hudler joins us on the show. Hud, you there?
C-Dot, hey, look, you know that irritates me when you mention a star or great or anything after my name. It's just not true. I was a middle-of-the-road, happy-go-lucky utility guy for 10 years in the big leagues, grateful I got my 10 years and I had enough talent to stay, but God bless that, and believe me, when I married up with Jennifer, she helped me get those 10 in. So I'm happy to be here in Kansas City, but especially on with you, though, C-Dot. We've had such a great relationship. This is year 14. Can you believe it?
You've been here for 14 years, Hud?
This is the 14th year. I can't believe the people have stomached me this whole time. I appreciate them so much, but I really love going to the K. Beautiful place, tremendous organization. They treat you like family, and I'm not even paid by them. I'm paid by the whoever it is. Fox, Valley, FanDuel this year, we're excited.
So, Hud, let me ask you this question. I should have probably had Rob ask you this before. Were you at Surprise at all this offseason? Did you get a chance to see them get ready for the season? I was going to ask you because I wanted to get your thoughts on Jack Caglione. A lot of fans want opinions about him. I haven't seen him. You're a former big league player. Have you got a chance to see him? What did he look like?
Yeah, he looks like a left-handed Mike Sweeney, which if he is, that would be a beautiful thing, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. This kid, he's going to be a star. He's like Junior when, you know, maybe don't have quite the athleticism that Junior has as far as his speed and the total combination of that package, but he's really a phenomenon as far as his size goes. His attitude, his upbringing, he is a perfect Royal, and that's what the Royals do. One of the reasons they're so good and what they do with their community work and the way these young men operate and giving back in communities because they're good people. They get good people. But what they want, and the sixth pick overall, is a guy who could hit one up to the moon, the blue moon bar up there in our stadium. You know that section all the way at the very top, that right field pole side? I could see Jack hitting a few balls up in there. With that kind of power, it's going to be so exciting. He'll be a draw for sure, but he's just not ready yet. And as far as Vinny goes, you know, the management will have to help him make that decision. I mean, your player wants to play on opening day, but we need Vinny to not have a reoccurrence of that because that could nag him all summer.
Right now, we're talking to Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler. Hud, tell us about your first opening day.
Oh, man, there was many. Of course, minor leagues, you know, it's exciting, but there's not a lot of fans there. But once I got to the majors, it was really fun to be able to go out there. I just remember how busy opening day was and how, you know, there's so much going on. You know, your uniforms are put in there and they're fit. Of course, that all happens today, the day before. But just the energy around it, you know, as a broadcaster now, after the 21 years of playing, I don't even go in the clubhouse opening day because the players, you know, they have so many things on their mind. It's just, you just want to stay away from them and let them have that day to breathe, go out and get introduced. You know, there's so many butterflies and so many nerves. And really, it's just a baseball game. That's what you have to tell yourself. But there's a lot that goes on around it. A lot of fun, especially for the fans when the weather's great. Even if it's not, it's still opening day. But, man, right now I'm outside and I need some sunscreen because I'm getting a little pink.
Yeah, I just think of opening day as, you know, there's sort of those unofficial starts to spring. Rob and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago whenever we have college basketball come around where you have, you know, the conference tournaments, the Big 12 tournaments downtown, how that's sort of the unofficial start to spring. Spring has always been opening day for me. Now, I know that opening day starts a little earlier now than when you were a player, but usually around this time, the weather is starting to turn around a little bit. School is about to close in the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. It just lets me really think that winter is over and we're starting to head towards much warmer weather.
That's right, C-Dot. And remember, basketball is an indoor sport, and it's a winter sport, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it's got to be played, that sport. But, you know, baseball is outside. People can get out. You know, they want to get outside. They want to, you know, go to the ballpark and smell that fresh air and listen to the sounds of the game, which are amazing. This spring, it was fun to be able to listen to our broadcasts, our Royals broadcasts, and in between innings, they would just leave the microphone on when there was no commercials being played. And it was so great. I remember taking naps just listening to the birds and then listening to the pop of the glove and just the crowd noise. It was so special. Baseball is unlike any other sport. It's played every day by great athletes that have to compete for a living every single day. And if you ask Michael Jordan, of course, he's the only athlete in any other sport that quit his sport, thought that baseball looked easy enough, he could handle it. And guess what happened? He said, you know what? I'm going back to basketball. Baseball is too hard. It's just the consistency, the mental grind of the game, and for the fans to come out and watch it and let them have some relief, there's just not a better sport.
Right now, we're talking to Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster, joining us on the show. This team, to me, feels like they are in that same place that the Royals were back in 2013. Now, obviously, I don't know if this season is going to turn out to what 14 and 15 added to, but you could feel in 13 that a very solid foundation was built for the Royals, and they just took it one step further. I've made the point that there are usually two steps you got to take. You go from a bad team to a good team, and now you got to figure out how to go from being a good team to a great team. The Royals figured that out in 14 and 15, and obviously it remains to be seen if this year's Royals can take that next step.
Well, sure, it remains to be seen because there's a lot that has to happen. Good. Now, what is good is that they've had a good, healthy spring outside of Pasquantino and a couple of little shoulder issues for some of the pitchers. But other than that, these guys, I always like to talk to new players that had just joined the team. And for us, Jonathan India, what a great acquisition for us because it fit exactly what we needed, a leadoff hitter. He answered that this spring. He showed what he could do. Of course, it's a long season, but he knows that. He's a veteran guy. So I asked him, hey, what do you think about your guys? He goes, there's a lot of gamers here. Gamers are guys that make the play at any cost. They don't care about their body. Alex Gordon was a gamer. He was a guy that you could put in there in that category. But when India said that he loves the gamers on the team, there's gamers plural, that means there's more than one, he's correct. And number two, the best thing he told me was he likes the winning culture that is being shown here and being developed and felt. And that's big for a guy coming in. No wonder he's excited, because he wants to play on a winner. He's at the stage in his career where, gosh, that's what they want to do. They want to be in the bright lights in October, and they want to win a world championship. So when you have – it's similar to what they had last year. Everybody was pulling for everybody. You think of others before yourself. That's called team chemistry. That's hard to put a number on. Drives a lot of analytical people wild because they can't figure what team chemistry is. They know what it is, but you can't put a number on it. And that's the one thing that the Royals have going for them. They have a tremendous leadership from the very top that they showed the Royals fans after the 106 loss season. We will not put our fans through that again. Ownership went out and they opened up their pocketbooks and they paid for some good players, and it worked out last year. And the same team is there this year, except we're a better bullpen team. Last year, I remember JJ was talking about the only thing they were really missing was a power right arm. And that was just one power arm. Now, this year, we have three to go into that back into the bullpen. That's a big difference. And the starting rotation is solid, plus two or three good pitchers for depth that you got to have. You go on from management on to JJ Piccolo, who's in management, was able to acquire these players. He goes out, he gets it all from the blueprint that was developed during his, I'll say, time underneath Dayton Moore. He learned so much about the game, about players, how to acquire them, what they're looking for in players, and this is what we're getting. We're getting players that fit the puzzle, pieces that fit, not pieces of puzzle that doesn't fit, and that's the key. When you acquire a player, is he going to be the guy that's going to help you? And I think we have a whole team full of guys that have been acquired to win a championship for the Royals fans here.
Hud, one player I want to ask you about is MJ Melendez. As a former baseball player, what do you think MJ needs to do to take that next step? Because it feels like Vinny, Bobby, and MJ all kind of got called up around the same time and around the same age. Vinny has turned into a very consistent major league player. Bobby Witt Jr. has turned into a star, and MJ seems like he's still trying to figure things out some.
Yeah, he does. And unfortunately, it showed last year. For all three of our outfielders really didn't have a lot of production. And, you know, having played, I understand the pressure of performing, what you have to do, you know, and how you got to get in there and do. But, you know, being an everyday performer, sometimes it's easier because you know you're in there every day. He's going to have to figure out who he is in his swing. We know who he is. He's got some major power, but we need some consistency from him, and he knows that. He knows that what he's got to do. He made some great adjustments in the wintertime, and he looked pretty good this spring. But once the bell rings, it's a whole different ball game. Hopefully, he can get off to a good start along with Isbell and Renfro. Those guys, really, it's the key to our success in run scoring is going to be those guys' production. And Melendez, you know, if he can't figure it out, I know the Royals probably won't be patient with him either. He'll have to find it out somewhere else. But, look, he's at a point now where he's got a hit or he's going to find another job somewhere.
Last question here, Hud. I kind of feel like this season for the Royals, if they're going to hit their ceiling, it really comes down to two people. We talked about Vinny. Vinny needs to take that next step, and I think he was in line to do so, but he had the injury late in the year. I also think it comes back to Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo was so good in year one for the Royals. Can he do that again? If he can do that again, along with Cole Reagans, you mentioned some of the improvements that the Royals could have in the bullpen. This is a team that could win 90 games if everything falls in place.
Yes, I think so. I mean, gosh, this is the most optimistic time of year for everyone. Fans, ball players. You know, Melendez thinks he's going to have a big year this year. You always have to be on that positive side, especially going into the season. You don't want to hear one guy say we don't have a chance. You don't ever want to hear that. You want every player believing that the championship season is upon us and we are here to produce, but we know it's one day at a time. We're going to have to just these guys are going to have to throw strikes. They know how to do it and ride the wave. Get off to a good start like we did last year. We had a winning April. That's going to be huge for our Royals. We've got to get off to a good start again. You can't fall behind in this division. You're going to have to keep your head up in here. Lugo, I think he has a chance to have another great season again. We know he and Walker aren't going to throw 97 miles an hour and blow it by like Reagans can. They're going to finesse their way through it. And when you're a pitcher and you have experience like that, you're going to find yourself if you're healthy. And so far, from what I understand, everyone's healthy. So you can expect good things from that rotation. And Bubich, wow, what a nice addition. And I'm so happy for Daniel Lynch. You kidding? That guy has nothing to prove in the minors anymore. He can go out there and do his job in long relief or even short outings, whatever. He's a guy that what I like to call saying, hey, I'm here to help our team win. Forget about me right now. Let's just win. And that's exactly what you're talking about, a whole room full of Royals baseball players that are that way. India, same way. I'll play anywhere you want me to play. As long as I'm in that lineup helping our guys win, I don't care. And that's how you win. You don't have a bunch of arrogance and a bunch of egos in there that are all thinking about me, I, because that doesn't work in a team sport. And the Royals know all that, and that's called a winning culture that Quintero, Brian Sweeney, all those guys, Zoe, everybody has developed in just now their third season with us. So it's only going to get better, guys.
That is Rex Hudler joining us on the show today, help getting you ready for opening day that comes up tomorrow. You can hear that right here on 96.5 The Fan. Hud, we look forward to another great baseball season. We look forward to having you on this year, Hud. I appreciate you.
Love it. Just don't call me a star. Come on, really? Because that's not the truth. And there was nothing great about me except for the wife I have. Thank you.
Hud, you know what? Next time I'll just keep it to one of my favorite people, Rex Hudler. How about that?
Thanks, C-Dot. Love it, man. Go Royals. It's going to be a great summer. I see it and feel it.
Absolutely. That is Rex Hudler joining us on the show today. I should have asked Hud, is he excited about the Flo Rida concert at Kauffman Stadium? That's what I'm most excited about this year. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. John Sherman met with the media. We'll play some cuts for you coming up at 4 o'clock in case you missed it. Let's talk a little bit of NFL before we do that. Let's start with a rumor that has been circulating now. I want to make this clear that I don't think this is going to happen, but it is a pretty interesting rumor. Listen to this.
I got a pretty darn good source within the Browns organization. Couple. I heard since our last show that part of the reason Myles Garrett was so willing to sign this extension for contract, yeah, money. The Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Dallas Cowboys for a trade for Dak Prescott. And Garrett got all giddy about it. Why, I don't know. We're not going anywhere with Prescott, even if they pull it off. Newsom's part of it. And draft picks.
Now, I don't think this trade is happening, but it is interesting to me. Dak Prescott's cap hit is $52.9 million for this season. It is $76 million. It is $70 million for 2027. You can't get out of the Dak Prescott deal until 2028, in theory. You're stuck with Dak Prescott as your starting quarterback. Above anything, it shows me that the Browns have not learned anything. Now, I'm not saying that Dak Prescott is Deshaun Watson. He's not that. But you're already underneath a bad contract. The Deshaun Watson contract is drowning your organization. And your philosophy potentially to get out of the bad contract by Deshaun Watson is to trade for Dak's contract? Then you've learned nothing. You've learned absolutely nothing if you're the Cleveland Browns. Dak Prescott is 32 years old and again coming off an injury. This is bad. Cleveland. I don't think this is true, but it's just fun to talk about it. Sports talk radio, that's what we do sometimes. I'm here telling you that this is what I would do if I'm the Cleveland Browns. This is what I would do. I would draft Abdul Carter with the number 2 overall pick. I think he is possibly the best player on the board. Take him. Draft him. Go get him. And what I predict is I think Shadur is going to fall in the draft. Now, maybe I'm wrong and the Giants take him. If the Giants want to use the 3rd overall pick on a quarterback, when they've spent money on Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston this offseason, okay. I don't think they're drafting him, but okay. And I think Shadur is going to fall. And you've got the 33rd overall pick. You got the number 1 overall pick in the 2nd round. And when Shadur is falling, you keep your eye on it. You keep monitoring the situation. And you use that 33rd overall pick and a future asset to go get your quarterback and move on. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. You need to get out of this situation cheaply. You're in it already a lot. Why sink more money into the position with Dak? Don't do it. Please, don't do it. Get yourself a rookie. It's also intriguing to think about and discuss from the Cowboys because I don't know what the Cowboys' plan is at quarterback if Dak Prescott is not there for next season. I don't know what they plan on doing if he's not there. Now, I don't think this is happening. Again, I want to be clear. I just think it is fun sports talk radio fodder. But I did find this very, very interesting. One quick point that I want to make. One quick NFL point is, if the best reason you have to make a deal is, well, we've got the cap space, you are telling us you don't even think you made a good deal. I'm looking at Stephon Diggs, who has now played on his third team in 3 years. I'm looking at Stephon Diggs, who is over 30 years old, who is coming off a significant knee injury. Sure, the contract is a lot of funny money. It's a whole lot of funny money in there. You overpaid for a 31-year-old malcontent that's coming off a significant injury. And you're telling me, oh, well, we have the cap space. That'll make it good. You could have got Devontae Adams for cheaper than that if you really wanted to go get a wide receiver. What would have been wrong with spending a 1-year contract to go get Hollywood Brown if you were just looking to beef up the wide receiver unit? This is why bad teams stay bad teams. They make signings that no one likes. This Stephon Diggs signing is crazy. 3 years, $69 million, 28 of it guaranteed. To a 31-year-old at this point turning into journeyman who is probably out of the league in 24 months, and you gave him that much guaranteed? It's silly. It's silly. I don't know what's going on with the Patriots, but it explains why over the last three seasons, since Tom Brady has left, it explains why they've been one of the five worst teams in the league. It does. I don't think that the Patriots have any real sense of talent acquisition. I don't think they have really good sense of what's good contracts and what's bad contracts and how you build through playmakers, because giving that amount of money to Stephon Diggs at this stage in his career is crazy to me. There's a lot of other things I would have done with that money than give it to a 31-year-old wide receiver who was just, it's, the data is there. He's declining. You should be looking to get out of these contracts, not get deeper into them. Throwing that amount of money at Stephon Diggs, we will be back in this place in a year, and we will look at this Diggs contract, and what we all know, the check engine light is flashing. It will be screaming at you coming up in 12 months that this is one of the worst contracts from this past offseason. Let's get back to baseball coming up at the top of the hour. Keep it right here. So Drive.